Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Betsy.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
One day I decided to drive my car to fucking starter goes out.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Murphy's Law.
Yep. Naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just following my Hoka Hay guy here.
Yeah.
And looks like he's, well, the nearest place I can, well, somewhere between Colorado and Flagstaff, Arizona right now, in 5 days from the Florida Keys. Not bad, huh?
Not bad. And I heard they caught a bunch of people cheating already.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, they
How
caught
so?
Some,
I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, I was talking to, there was a lady on yesterday on LJ and Chuck show.
Yeah.
She's right there with him.
Oh.
And then there's another guy who, there's a Marine, he has a brain tumor, and this is probably going to be his last ride, and they're riding together, they're in the back.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know, the
you
price
know
is a half a million bucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, with that much money involved, people are going to cheat. It's always that way.
Yeah, that's true. And that's a shame that the first day out they had an accident, and I guess it was some guy that wasn't even on the trip, made a U-turn or something. I guess he was, you know, trying to follow along or whatever and caused an accident and took two people out.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucks. Imagine that. You go all that way, get all these sponsors, get ready to go, and then some idiot, just
mm-hmm.
like a right-of-way infraction, you know, some idiot comes along and takes you out, and bingo.
Well, that's like yesterday. They were Chuck and LJ, they were talking to this lady, and they were talking about Chuck getting a sponsor to ride next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know how you do it. The dealerships will sponsor you, and then you get other sponsors behind the dealerships.
Uh-huh.
So you can tell them that, or I can tell them that, or we can all tell them that.
I'll tell them that, but
okay.
Usually I try and stand on my own.
Okay.
You know, I know. Betsy, when you start asking people for money, unless they owe it to you, they always think you have an angle.
Oh, I know. I mean, all the charitable work I've done over the years, every time, it got to a point at one time when people saw me kind of coming, they would start running in the other direction. It's like, okay, what charity is she going to hit us up for now?
Exactly.
You know, and how many times can you go to the same well before, you know what I mean?
They run dry.
Yep. Oh,
yeah,
you know.
I'm just waiting for, there's a couple more people going to call, and I don't know.
Okay, well, you know what? I do want to mention that one of our patriots and staunch, stalwart bikers' rights activist passed away this morning, Sputnik Strain from Texas.
Right.
For those that aren't familiar with him, he's done a lot of work, well-known, well-respected in Texas. Texas Motorcycle Rights Association president, very involved for many years. He had ill health, and I guess as of last night, I just spoke to a friend of mine. He had taken a turn for the worse. He had been on oxygen. God loves Sputnik. The man loved to drink and smoke cigarettes, and he's on the oxygen, and he would take off the oxygen, light up a cigarette, and then he'd go back on the oxygen. And so evidently he had a massive heart attack this morning at about 5 o'clock. And
wow.
Yeah, so he's off riding that big highway in the sky now.
He wrote. Hello? Hello?
And as soon as I get more information about the funeral and all, I'll pass it along.
I got an email from John about that. I'm waiting for John's going to call, and then there's another guy going to call.
Okay.
But,
I just sent you an email that I had received.
Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second, Becky.
All right.
Hello? 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 Hey, you're calling in the wrong number. You know how that is. I know after this last 2.5 hours, I'm kind of tense myself right now.
Well, I should think so. I mean, I called in before, and the music's very nice, but after the fourth go-round, I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
You know, hello?
Yeah, I apologize for that. But.
Oh, that's all right. Stuff happens. Had I known or had a, if I had a way to be able to do it from remotely, you know, I would have stepped in, but I'm clueless. I'm not very mechanically inclined with that stuff.
Yeah, I had people going, hey, you need to jump, you need this. And I know when I turn the key and I got all kinds of lights, I know it's the starter.
Yeah. And once it's a starter, no matter what you do, you can't get going.
No, I could, but I didn't have any tools. I didn't have a jump wire or nothing.
I learned
from the old school guys on how to do that, bypass everything. The only problem was I was standing there. I felt helpless because I didn't even have a fucking screwdriver.
Get out. Screwdriver didn't have a screwdriver?
Oh, he carries a hammer, not a screwdriver.
I know, but you don't even have a little toolkit for your car?
Yeah, but I...
Memo to self. Put a little screwdriver and stuff in your car.
Well, you know, when you let other people drive your car and they're supposed to put the stuff back.
Oh, I hate when that happens, when people take the tools and don't put them back. Pet
mm-hmm.
peeve of mine.
Yeah, or I'm out cutting the grass and I run over a wrench.
Oh, not fun. Destroys the blades on the mower.
No. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. You know, you get
You
crazy.
Had a bad day, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, yesterday there was a fire. Today.
I know, when you had to let that guy go.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of goofy things going on right now.
Yeah. Well, let's hope this is the end of it. It's almost the full moon. That could be why.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe in that stuff, you know.
Yeah, Janine called me. She wasn't going to be able to be on today. Or I guess her husband came back, so I told her to go to a movie so they can grope each other in the dark.
Oh. That's what you call getting creative when you have young kids at home.
That's why I told her that.
Yeah.
You know, but it all worked out. She'll
be
back
very
next
good.
Week. I'm going to bring in a friend of mine.
Okay.
And, his name is T-Rod. Hello,
okay.
T-Rod.
What's happening, bro?
How you doing, man? Betsy, this is T-Rod. T-Rod, this is Betsy.
Hey, T-Rod, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Hey, want to call in? Go ahead.
You know, this is why we pay rent in Southern California, man. The weather is bitching.
I know. We lost our bike night again tonight for the fourth Thursday in the row. Our throttle Thursdays are now going to be dubbed thunderstorm Thursdays.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
I tell you, I just got done with work, and I just finished a 1988 FXR
mm-hmm.
that I rebuilt from the ground up.
Nice.
And
I seen
on
it.
A day like this, you've seen it, right?
Oh, absolutely, man.
Dude, let me tell you something, man. On a day like this, after you're done working on a nice 7-8 hour day, you can jump on a bike and then just ride it home, just wearing a T-shirt, jeans, and a pair of tennis is bitching, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I can do that now here, but I can't do it all year round like you guys can.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
That is a great feeling.
Yeah, it's true what they say about FXRs, man. I tell you what, I rode a Dyna for a long time when I was in the club, and you know, we ride 80, 90 miles an hour all the time, man, and you always get that tail shake in the dyna. No matter what you do, you can put the true track on the back, you can change your motor mount, you can put a steering stabilizer, but the geometry of the frame, the way it's designed, man, when you take a long sweeping turn, you start getting the accent wobbles, and dude, let me tell you, FXRs, man, God, it's just amazing how good these things handle, you know?
Yeah, the sad part is I got rid of mine and I bought the Dyna, but I like the Dyna, but I, you know, thinking about it, when I do ride, when Bill and I ride and we ride with the other guys, sometimes we ride 100, 3 feet apart, but I
have
a wobble. But I feel it more at between 90 and 95 than I do. Once I get past 95, it kind of goes away.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird. Even if you have, like, if you have saddlebags on the back, it's worse. Forget it, you know what I mean?
I got rid of my Dyna.
Yeah.
I had one.
Yeah,
for a Road King. I like to cruise, though.
Yeah, I like to get moving, you know. It's kind of weird. Once you start riding fast, and you just can't ride slow anymore, you know. It's kind of cool to be able to just zip through cars and just get home.
Yeah, go when you want to go.
Yeah. Dude, I got a hold of 80. What's that?
So that thing's running great then, huh?
Yeah, I got a hold of it from a friend of mine, and let me tell you, man, like I told you when I seen you this week, is if you can get your hands on FXR, get it, because they're all going to Japan, and they won't be around, you know?
No, I got Bill. Bill's got a couple, but they're going to be more trouble than they're worth. I'm looking for a different one.
Yeah, totally.
So the two he's got, I think are going to go to Germany.
Yeah. See, the Europeans are buying these things.
Why? Is it because there's more money? They can get more money for them overseas?
Yes and no. It's just the person over there that wants that particular bike.
Oh, okay.
You know, some of the guys were here from Germany from one of the clubs, and they bought 8 of them. They bought 4 Sportsters and 4 Dynas.
Yeah, because they ride fast over there.
Yeah,
so they want all the rubber mounted stuff.
Right.
I had a soft tail before the R, you know, that I bought from a friend of mine. And I bought it. No matter what I did to it, man, I got it above 80 miles an hour. And that thing just wanted to vibrate loose, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why these guys buy them, because they ride fast. They ride for a long time in Europe. And, you know, everything else will just rattle loose, you know?
Uh-huh. It's like riding a Sportster that's falling apart.
The Sporties are quick, though. They're a nice little zip-around-town bike, you know.
You know what a lot of the guys are doing right now with the Sporties is they're taking Sportsters and taking the rear fender off and bolting on the little fiberglass flat-track style fender and putting flat-track tires on them and running the little longer sling arm on the back, and that seems to be what's cool right now. You know, everybody takes a Sporty and wants to make it look like a flat track bike.
Hmm.
Wow.
A lot of my friends are doing that right now. They strip them down and put the little sport bars on, and you know, take the front fender off and run the like the XR style pipes. You know, the side by side.
Uh huh.
So that's what a lot of the guys are doing, man. And they look pretty cool because they look tough, you know?
I seen a guy the other day, though. He hit a bump, and he kind of came out of that little bicycle seat. And he got pinned between the seat and the back tire as he was going down.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You know, that's a classic one there, because it hits you. If you're a guy, it hits you right on your balls, you know? It hurts.
Uh-huh. Speaking of balls, that guy talked to the machinist. They got one made. He asked me if I told him who I was giving them to, and he asked me if he wanted to engrave them.
So? What'd you say?
I figured I put Betsy's balls on there, but I don't know.
Are they the chrome ones or the brass ones?
Oh, the chrome ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just haven't figured out how you're gonna hang them or where you're gonna do with them.
I don't know. Maybe I'll put them on my desk.
Okay, then I'll get you a piece of redwood.
Okay. I don't think they'd mount or look good on the bike. You know what I mean?
No,
well,
she was
gonna
put them in a bag, T-Rod, and hang them off the back fender.
Yeah, no shit. Sorry, I forgot we're on the radio.
That's
feel like
okay.
I'm just talking to my buddy.
We have no problem here, man. You can say whatever you want. No problem at all.
Dude, I just got done loading up for tomorrow, and I'm racing at IMS in San Bernardino, the speedway track.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, Friday night, man. I can only do one race a week. The guy's got 3 different races going on, Wednesday nights, Friday nights, and Saturday nights.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, working at the shop is... It's so hard to just do all the prep work and everything that I can only hit one a week. So I'm going to make the one that counts. You know, San Bernardino is where it's at right now.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
is that what you do is rebuild bikes?
Yeah.
Pardon me?
She was asking me if that's what I do. And I build custom bikes from the ground up. And
nice.
Or I'll
your plug. Go ahead. You can plug the shop.
All right, yeah, Illusion Cycles. We do everything from changing your oil to building you a complete bike. Basically, we're a one-stop shop. We have a machine shop, welding shop, fabrication shop, and mechanics, wiring. We do it all, man. It's just, we've been around for about 6 years now, but between Rusty and I, we've got like 20 years experience, you know, in wrenching, so it's... We try to do everything we can in-house, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
I'm going to put in the chat, Betsy, if you want to go look at it, but they do great
well,
work.
You know what? You don't have to. I think they added me on Facebook. Aren't you guys on Facebook?
I think I'm on Facebook myself, but I don't know if the shop has a Facebook page. I know we have a MySpace.
Maybe I'm confused, which isn't difficult to do.
It happens, you know.
Yeah, no, I could have sworn I saw Illusion Cycles, but I could be
wrong.
Yeah,
no, we have a MySpace, I think, but we got to kind of keep up with the times and move on to Facebook, I think, you know.
Yeah, I think MySpace is pretty much like, you know, dwindled in Facebook.
Yeah.
Or Faceplant, as a friend of mine calls it.
Yeah. Or two Facebooks, like some people call it.
yeah, that too. Go ahead.
You know what's cool about Facebook? It's like I was never really into, like, the internet and stuff, but I got connected with friends from, like, elementary school, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And that's kind of good and bad, you know? It's like you look at some of the hot chicks that... You thought they were going to be hot, and you're like, oh, man.
Oh, they were all, like, frumpy looking and overweight. All the football players all weigh 350 pounds in a ball.
They're all hooked on coke and, bald, and they got stomachs.
Yeah.
It's funny, man.
I went back to Chicago a few months ago, and I was standing I went to the corner where everybody hung out when I was a kid. And I walked around, and, you know, T-Rod, I got a ponytail down the middle of my back, and I'm walking around, and the same guys are on the same corner doing the same shit they were doing.
Oh, no.
30 years ago.
Isn't that funny, man?
That's sad.
Funny. It was hilarious. And then
I started
talking to guys, and I recognized their little brothers faster than I did them, because I just remembered that, you know, the way they looked in, and then... One guy was bald, another guy had, you know, one guy was like about 350 pounds. It was crazy. Then like, hey, we thought you died. No, I didn't die. Well, yeah, we heard you died. And I said, no, I went into Marine Corps, and then I ended up staying in California.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, you know, some people just stick to the same program their whole life, you know. It's kind of weird.
They even have the same hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
Or they try. They probably got a lot less hair.
Yeah,
they
don't
do
have
that.
Any hair left.
They do that comb over, you know, look where
yeah.
They're trying to fake it.
But I just brought in another caller. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, this
well,
is
dude.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing? Who's this?
It's Dennis.
How you doing, Dennis? Say hello to Betsy and T-Rod.
Hey, Dennis. How are you?
What's happening, bud?
I've been busy today.
T-Rod, he's out of Illusion Motorcycles out of Westminster, California. Him and Rusty have a shop up there, and I asked T-Rod to call in about what we're going to talk about with this SB435.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they're gonna it goes Monday, they're going to have their vote or something?
Yep.
And then I brought Betsy in because Betsy's been, I guess she's dealt with this stuff in Boston, so she's one of our, for ideas and stuff to bounce off, I figured we'd bring Betsy in and she could, between the four of us, maybe we can get a good discussion going. And then John's supposed to call in here soon.
Okay.
But if you wanna give an update on that, I'd appreciate it, Dennis.
Well, since I've been immersed in it all day until only seconds before I got on this call, I suppose I can do that.
Quiet.
Let's see, where do we start? This week was a very busy week for the bill's author.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it was because she needed to try to round up the votes to be able to get it passed out of the Assembly Transportation Committee. The way she originally came in was with a $300 fine for anything after 1983 that didn't have the EPA labels on their exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
Then she backtracked and, you know, people started rising up. I've been sending out the action alerts trying to get people to respond, and I think we've been getting a lot of responses. The website's been pretty busy, like way busy.
I heard some about some like 36,000 signatures already.
Nice.
Oh, I suppose that's possible. What we were doing before, ever since last year when we knew this thing was still alive, was we just started collecting signatures on petitions, and people would take them out to runs and shops and wherever else they could get things signed. And the last I heard was about 17,000, but that was before the final call for everybody to get what was out there in. So it's possible that we got that many.
Uh-huh.
So anyways,
there
were
several rewrites, weren't there?
Well, that's what I'm going through right now is the rewrites.
Oh, okay.
So what she did after she initially introduced it and got all the blowback was said, okay, 2000 model year and later, and we'll reduce the fines to like $50 to $100. And then after it became obvious to her that that still wasn't going to be able to pass, she said, okay. And this was what the thing that was going on this week. They were negotiating with the lobbyists for the dealers and the aftermarket and all that stuff. And even the CHP was in there. And so she said, okay, anything after model year 2011. And so
let me get this straight.
Go ahead.
From the 2011 up, you will now have to have
EPA.
A manufacturer serial number on your exhaust from a legal EPA exhaust, and you're going to have to smog your motorcycle?
No. The original bill last year was introduced as a requirement for motorcycles to go through smog check the same as cars. That got killed before it could come out of the Senate Transportation Committee. And so basically,
yeah, really.
So basically it just sat there empty as a holding place in the Assembly Transportation Committee with her agreement that she was going to remove the smog check provisions. So nobody knew what was going to happen until about 3 weeks ago. And that's, you know, I explained the series of events that have happened since then. And this week.
Wow, so there is no smog, but you have to have EPA certified mufflers on your motorcycle from 2011 up. What happens if you get caught riding without them? Let's say you have a pair of Samsung, you know, slip-on straight drag pipes.
Well, the other thing she did as part of her negotiations was agree to make it a secondary offense and a fix-it ticket.
Hmm.
So if they stopped you for something else and they couldn't find the EPA label on your exhaust, then they could give you a ticket under this new section of the vehicle code she's proposing.
Well, I'm curious to see how them guys are going to do that on the side of the freeway, jump down in their uniform and get down on the ground
exactly,
and look through,
hot,
your wheels.
With
and see
hot
what
pipes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
it's even worse than that, because what I've come to find out, and there was a really beautiful study that was done by the motorcyclists in New York when they were faced with this, when New York City tried to do the same thing. They went out, and they went and looked at, I think, 8 different manufacturers and did 77 bikes or something like that. And on those, I think there were 26 of them where it was not even visible, period.
Exactly.
No matter how much the cop was crawling around.
You know, we did the same thing here in Boston. We went to the dealership and we examined, I think it was 66 motorcycles. And out of 66, we were able to find 12 easily. I mean, you know, we still had to get down on the ground and look up underneath. But only 12 models of the 66 could we find the EPA stamp on. And I've got another question. Does California, and forgive me because I'm just not aware, does California have a decibel level that's allowable there? And
yep,
doesn't
already
that supersede anything else? I mean, if you're compliant with the noise level, wouldn't you be compliant whether or not it's an EPA stamped exhaust or an aftermarket? As long as it meets the allowable decibel level, wouldn't you be legal?
That's the way I
think
they.
That's the what?
I think that's like apples and oranges, because the EPA has not so much to do with the noise, but with the actual emissions.
Okay.
Yeah, the way, see, our shop is EPA and CARB certified. So what they do, in order to get an EPA certification on your muffler, on your whole motorcycle, is they actually, when they do a long test and a short test on the emissions on the bike, and
mm-hmm.
when they do a short test, they actually put the motorcycle in a sealed chamber,
oh.
and they examine the amount of carbon that the motorcycle is producing. So, their noise is not the concern, actual. It's the actual,
okay.
The way the motorcycle is burning and the way the carbon emissions. So noise compliant, I think it's like 80 decibels or less.
Mm-hmm.
So your exhaust could be compliant to the noise, but it doesn't mean that it's going to have an EPA. Yeah, because to certify anything through the EPA, it's actually a lot of money. I'm not sure if a lot of the exhaust manufacturers are going to want to spend the money to have an exhaust tested by the EPA labs. And
well,
you know what I'm saying?
They're not going to do it. Look at the helmet issue. I mean, only 7% of them do the DOT testing now. It would be the same situation with the pipes.
Yeah, so you pretty much would be stuck with stock muffler if that's the case. If they're going after, well, in 2011, if they're going after EPA and sound, that's going to weed out a lot of the aftermarket exhaust manufacturers, because
right. and you know what
they're
else
just not going to have
do?
The money.
A lot
it's
of people
close all
will
down
not
the independent
buy new shops motorcycles.
Who rely on that. The same thing with right now. I think the only company that is making anything compliant is Bub.
Yeah, for noise, but for EPA also, for, you know what I mean?
That's something you should check into and see.
For example, there's really easy to check. There's a, when we do racing in the city here during weeknights, we're not allowed to fire our race bikes until after 7 p.m. because of the noise decibels that they produce. And actually, sometimes there's a city guy that comes in and stands right by the racetrack, and it's got a noise meter,
hmm.
and he points it right at the bike, and he checks the you know, the decibels of noise. You gotta use noise compliant mufflers on the race bikes, otherwise, you know, they can tell you you're not allowed to race that night because your bike's too loud. So the cop can actually you know, if this is going to be the case, they can actually obtain one of these little machines and point it right at your exhaust and tell you if it's noise compliant or not. But the EPA factor, that's going to be a little harder for them to test, you know?
Right.
Yeah, they're going to have to walk around with some kind of makeshift chamber or something, or get a wand to stick up the...
I'd stick it up their ass, but that's another story.
Because they can say, hey, this bike is not noise compliant. I'm going to cite you for a modified exhaust. But how would they test for an EPA? You know, I mean, I guess they'll have to look for the stamping on the muffler.
I don't
know.
Maybe Dennis can answer that one.
I think I can shed some light on this.
Okay.
Let's go into the Wayback Machine, back into the 70s. And I wasn't quite conscious of all this stuff at that point in time, but I guess there was a big brouhaha then that says the EPA was to be able to regulate noise as something that was harmful, a harmful emission into the environment. And Congress passed these laws that authorized them to do that. And this is where the stamps come from. If you look at the EPA stamps on the exhaust today on stock bikes, what it does is it says it's certified that it's only going to produce so many dBs at, you know, per such and such a test at for this many miles, guaranteed for this many miles. If you look at the stamp, that's what it says. And that's been on all the exhaust pipes from the manufacturers in some form or another since 1983. Now, back in 1981, Congress, or it might have been 82, I've been saying 81, but it might have been 82, Congress pulled the funding for the agency within the EPA that was responsible for administering these regulations.
Yeah, isn't that when that closed down?
Yep. So essentially, nothing's been done since then. The EPA says, we don't regulate noise. So they've got these laws on the books still, but nobody's done anything with them for all
Nobody challenged the laws?
So it's been dormant. It's been there, but it's...
I didn't hear what you were saying.
I brought...
So you're saying
I brought
John
in.
The law's been there, but it's been dormant then.
Right.
Because of funding.
Right.
Right.
John, are you there?
They need money, so they find a way to bring it back out so they can make some money.
That's all it's boiling down to is money.
Yeah.
Remember, this is the federal government, the EPA.
Mm-hmm.
That's broke.
It's not California, right? So
yeah.
In order to re-implement this, Congress would have to reauthorize funding for it, and then they would have to go through a period of time where they brought the standards up to date.
The revenues they can get out of are monstrous compared to what probably the money they have to put in to get it back up again, you know?
All right, so now I've got a question, and correct me if I'm wrong here. My understanding was that the EPA stamp was only good for the manufacturer, number one. It's only valid for a year.
Or 3,750 miles.
Yeah, 3,730 miles. So what happens after that? Do you have to go and remove those pipes and then go buy new EPA stamped pipes or what?
Well, this
probably.
This is part of where it was left when they were defunded. You know, the long-term plan back in those days was that they were actually going to regulate this and make it something that, you know, just like smog controls or whatever else, the way they do today, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were defunded. So these laws are on the books, and this is a gray area that you're talking about right now. What were people supposed to do, right?
Well,
yeah,
I think
it'll have to be decided there. You know, if it ends up getting left up in the air and there's any vagueness, then, you know, it's only as good as the piece of paper it's written on, and a good attorney will be able to shoot it down.
Well, I think with what McGrath's going to do in South Carolina, That might be some levity. That might shine some light on this whole thing.
Well, it's all connected, although that's not, you know, emissions as much as it is noise. You know, he's saying that's apples and oranges, but I think it's, like, kind of connected.
That's why I just said what I said. I think it's connected also.
Okay.
Did you have anything you wanted to say, John?
Yeah, the that CFR-40 back in...
This is John Delsano, and I have Dennis, Betsy, and T-Router on the phone, John.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, John from Albedo, California. That Title 40 was under the Office of Noise Abatement and Control, was dismantled in 1981, long before those intentions could be carried out, because they were first supposed to be for automobiles and trucks and motorcycles. Okay, but it was dismantled, leaving Title 40 only partially implemented, and eventually it was abandoned. So when these politicians say, well, yeah, we're doing the same thing as the EPA requires, the EPA doesn't require it. It doesn't happen. It didn't happen.
Ah, it's repugnant. That's my favorite word.
You've talked to me enough to know what my favorite two words are.
I know.
So we got to find a loophole. That's what we got to do then.
Well, there's your loophole right there.
There are loopholes all over the place. For instance, you can only see the label on the original equipment pipes on about 20% of the bikes that you look at. The other 83%, I think, stamp is going to be under the pipe. Now, can you see the CHP officers laying on their back in the street trying to stick their head underneath a hot pipe and reach around the catalytic converter?
Of course not. That's what we went through here with Boston, with the noise that Boston PD issued an unofficial statement that officers were not to get down on the ground and look up underneath bikes. Because for that very reason, that only 20% of the stamps are visibly seen without having to do something to modify the bike to be able to see it, and that it puts them in harm's way.
Especially because a lot of those guys are pretty fat and they got bad knees.
That's true.
Also, Philip, you got the EPA labels are a manufacturing and sale requirement only.
You know what's exactly not meant for the end consumer.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Okay.
Hello?
No, go ahead.
I think
John,
you're
up. Dennis, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Like what John was saying, it would be the manufacturer and not the end consumer, or did they talk about that too?
Well, part of the original plan way back when was that they were going to make it some sort of requirement that the consumers maintain these labels. That was part of their plan, but it was never implemented. It never went that far.
Okay. So do you think they're going to go that far, or we don't know yet?
They can't. Unless they get some kind of funding authorization and reopen that agency within the EPA.
Okay. So basically, we're all going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, if they do something like that, it's going to take them years to get it up to speed.
Okay. I just had to, I got a little, somebody paid me a visit and I had to go out and refresh. So I'm coming back up online, but anybody else got anything they want to ask Dennis? Because I guess he's been down in the trenches.
I pretty much got it clear, man. It's going to be a tough one.
I'm sorry?
I pretty much got it clear now after listening to Dennis. It's it's going to be a pretty tough deal, man. It could go one way or it can go south real quick, you know?
Right. That's basically like everything else we're trying to get around here, you know?
It depends on what kind of focus they're going to put on it. They can just let it be or go back to Les Norman, or they can really put the fire to it and make our lives miserable, so to speak.
Well, remember, you're talking about two different things here. One thing is the federal government, the EPA, and them getting funding to be able to regulate this again. The other thing is what California is trying to do at this particular moment in time, and that's what we're trying to stop. Because if they pass this bill and they make it into law, if you buy a brand spanking new motorcycle, 2011 model, and the cop can't see the labeling, you're going to get a ticket.
Wow.
So what we have to do is pretty much urge everybody that hasn't signed to sign this petition again.
No, at this point, signing the petition is not really going to do much good. We collected all those and we gave it to them, and so, you know, we beat her back and beat her back and beat her back with this stuff. And now she's squirming around and trying to get this thing to go through committee, and that's how she came up with the 2011 thing. So what we need to do right now is go to the Abate website, and there's full instruction. Everything I've just told you is all explained there with backup documentation and links to the presentation from New York I told you about. And there's even a guy I found out there that has a fact and fiction page that he put together that's got a lot of the history of this EPA stuff that I just related to you.
And you say that's on the Abate website?
Yep. And so
I can throw it up in the chat.
It's abate.org. If you just go there and start clicking on the links to get to the SB 435 info, it's right on the homepage to start with. I mean, it says alert, alert, you know.
Okay. I'm going to put that up. I'm going to put that up in the chat.
Okay, abate.org. Now, so what we're trying to do is get as many people as possible to, there's a list of the assembly transportation members, and the ones that are the critical votes at this point in time have an asterisk beside them. And so we're trying to get people, especially people who live in districts that are represented by those representatives, to contact them and make sure that they're aware of this presentation that was done in New York to stop it, make sure they've seen it and understand why you can't do this, and also to ask them if they're aware that the EPA agency that was originally responsible for regulating this hasn't existed since 1981. That's what we need people to do right now, today, tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to get on that right now then.
And then I have a couple more callers. I don't think they have any. Hello, is this you, John?
Yo, hey, out here on the East Coast, man.
How you doing?
Okay, man. Just I got something I want to throw out. Now I don't know if how this is how this is going to be, all this might be received, but. Me and another fellow.
Okay, we're all thick-skinned here. Go for it.
No, I don't mean anything in that respect. It's something you got to kind of get your mind around a little bit. The word DOT approved, it basically doesn't mean anything. That's just a word that manufacturers put on their helmets. It has no real standing. And what we thought about was. Actually, trademarking the term DOT approved helmets, Department of Transportation approved helmets, that slogan. We did a check and we found out that there's a lot of DOT approved stuff, but it has basically nothing to do with the Department of Transportation, and it has nothing to do with the process of, of approving a helmet. Now,
what about
what you can do is, and it's legal, it requires, this would have to be a group thing. We've looked into it. You could sort of incorporate yourself, individuals could incorporate themselves into a service that that approves, the DOT approves helmets. Now, right now, nobody owns that trademark. Nobody has a trademark. None of these companies have a trademark that says that, this is the DOT-approved process. Anybody can say that it's DOT-approved. So what you can do is apply for the trademark and provide the service that authenticates that it's DOT-approved, which in essence means nothing because all you got to do is find out what the standards are for approving those helmets, standards, and all you do is cite those standards. What in essence is you become the medium that approves or disapproves the DOT approved standards. So right about now, anybody can say they're DOT approved. It literally means nothing. So.
Let me ask Dennis a question. So Dennis, yeah. What he's saying, would we be able to do anything with that against these exhaust the mufflers? Dennis?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Oh.
I'm trying to think of the appropriate response here or a thoughtful response.
It's a concept.
You have
to think about. Yeah. You got to think on a broad. You can attack this thing low level in a hundred different ways, but once you get up to the level that all this stuff floats around, the national accreditation of that slogan and that process. It right about now it doesn't exist, but you can create it. There's a process that's in effect that you can apply. It's there, and now it's not saying that the government is going to, that they could tie that up. And, I don't know how long that's a process. You have there's fees involved, and they could you could appeal and reappeal, and they could deny it, and blah blah blah. But there's a process there, and up till now nobody has applied for that process, so it's not owned by anybody. I mean, if you're lucky enough, you may be able to own that. That phrase DOT approved, which up till now is just a made up phrase, and there's no standard. I've seen everything that says DOT approved. All they do is come up with a little logo that says DOT approved, and all that means is that they qualify, that they adhere to the NHTSA standards. So you got a tool right there that I don't know how feasible it is. We've looked at. We know so far that nobody's done it, and we know that there's a process to do it. But a thing like that could require a group effort. It's nothing that I don't think one individual can go ahead and do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
The logistics are, there's a lot of logistics involved. The application fees. Pardon?
In response to Philip's question about how can we possibly apply this to our current problem with the EPA labeling requirements,
mm-hmm.
It's the EPA, it's not the NHTSA.
Well, that's, we just threw that up on the wall strictly for the helmet issue. I don't know if that would ever, that was the original. This was something we looked into a while ago, long before that. The exhaust pipes and the noise emissions. It doesn't pertain to that. But I'm throwing that up as a possibility, as another scenario for the helmet laws. That I don't know. That may we're probably talking about two different animals here.
It's two different things.
It's apples and oranges, but that's what I've got to go on for just for the helmet issue. Now, I belong to a bait over here in Jersey. What we were thinking of doing is kind of brainstorming and seeing if they won't, if we couldn't get enough support behind that that effort. And approach it, in an organized way, and to see if anybody could actually you know, could actually capture that. You know, so far nobody's done it because nobody's thought about it. You know, it's so we just came up with it one night. You know, well, what does DOT mean? You know, and it means nothing for the most part. I don't know if this EPA, if that applies to the EPA or not, because, you know, I'm not, we didn't look at
that. Anybody, Betsy, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm not so sure it isn't apples and oranges, but it's a very interesting concept. I don't know. I was trying to think how it could be applied to this, but it just shows that with creative thinking.
Yeah,
anything could be done.
It requires a whole other way of looking at the, you know, looking at the problem and trying to find another way to approach it. This would have to, you know, in essence, it's probably not even too smart to even be talking about that. You know, even throwing that out. In this kind of, even in this scenario where we're just talking about it, because right now, I'm assuming that nobody else has thought about it yet. Otherwise, they would have done it. So, you know, so even talking about it until you've got a plan, you know, a game plan, is a little risky because they might do an end run around you and go ahead and just implement that idea and lock it up, you know, and get the damn thing locked up. Long, you know, even before, once you make the application for it, you know, you're pretty much out in the open. You're out there naked. So that, but if you're going to do this, you've got to have all your ducks lined up and ready to, you know, you got to be the first guy there with the goods, you know, because it's always the first guy who does it in the long run who's, you know, be successful at it. And anything is. It's always that first attempt, you know, and once that gets established, everybody else is followers, and, you know, and they pretty much have to fall behind you. But
So what we need to do, Dennis, then is the letters and stuff. How about phone calls or emails? Would that help out too?
The most important thing right now, and it's highlighted on the BAIT website, is to get as many people as possible tomorrow to fax the letter of opposition that's available on the website to the chair of the committee. The next thing is to make phone calls to their assembly people, especially if their assembly people are in the transportation committee, and especially if they have stars beside them, because those are key votes.
Okay.
If we can convince those people with the stars beside them that this is not a good idea, even for 2011 models, and they vote no, she's dead.
Mm-hmm. Art, did you have a question, Art?
Not really. I'm kind of listening, and I just picked up, so I'm behind the curve on this.
Okay. What do you think about that, Betsy?
Well, I think I'm going to put it out there tomorrow as well. I do know that it is important that people do step up to the plate and contact their legislators, because legislators understand that, you know, the little people do vote for them, and if enough people complain, they'll hear it, hopefully, and do something about it.
Baker, did you have anything you wanted added? Hello, Baker.
Yo.
Hey, what do you think about this? Have you got any questions or a comment?
Man, I've been following it very closely and getting educated. You know, this is why, you know, I love your show and I listen, because, you know, all the information and things that and all the great folks that are around the country fighting for biker rights and all the stuff that's happening in that fashion, you know, I can also find a way to take part by listening to you guys and going to the ABAIT website. I really don't have anything to add. I'm trying to learn right now, and I'm paying attention and hope to spread the word.
You know, that's the key right there. You know, everybody says, you know, I have people tell me all the time, I listen and stuff, and then when I say, well, what are you doing to help the cause? Oh, well, that's your job. You know, like Dennis, I understand, has been pounding the pavement up there and sitting in room after room with these people. And it's a thankless job, and I thank him for doing that.
Hey, Phil?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, the COC sent out one of the public defender notices to get letters fired out, emails and phone calls. Also, to get those out this week before anything goes to legislation.
Right, but according to Dennis, it's more of fill out that form on the abate and send them your opposition to it.
Right, right. They're doing
well,
that.
Well, also make the phone calls.
Right. So we're trying to get everything in there because, like you say, they understand numbers, and that's all they seem to understand.
Right. I mean, we have a guy that came from the East Coast. He's out here, and he's got a site called RideToRepeal.com, and he's looking for people to help with the candidates that will support the biker community. I'll put that up in the chat if you guys want to contact him. I'll give you his website. But, yeah, it's just like if we don't do nothing now, we're all going to take one for the team.
There will be no team.
Yeah, that's right. There'll be no team.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
But anybody got a burning desire?
Yeah. Hey, Phil, one more thing I wanted to bring up. I don't know if anybody brought it up, but there was a guy named Sputnik out of Texas.
Yes, I did earlier, but you missed it.
Okay. Okay, I thought I wanted to make sure. He was a good man. Very, very young.
He was.
He was dedicated.
Yeah. He was one of the hardest working people in bikers' rights.
Yeah.
Going to be some hard shoes to fill there, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was definitely an organizer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have a question. As an entertainer, what can I do? How can I come up with some literature or something that could be passed out at gigs, you know, when I'm playing at a biker event or anything like that to help support this type of a cause of getting people aware and making, you know, letting everybody know what's going on?
I have a thought on that. In between sets or something, if there's somebody there from the local A-Bait or something, invite them up on the stage and let them speak for a couple of minutes. And then when they're done, you know, just reinforce what they said and say, you know, guys, if you don't do something about this, you know, you're going to lose all your rights and, I don't know, something along that line. And then, of course, literature is always good. I
so
mean,
maybe
to be off the wall, you know, I do think a little differently than you West Coast people do.
Yeah.
Well, Baker's out of Nashville.
Oh, well, but I mean, he's, well, South. I'm a Yankee. What can I tell you?
There's two of us here anyway. We just got, it's a standoff. There's two Yankees on, and one left coaster, or a couple left coasters. So it's kind of a standoff, a Mexican standoff.
They will cover coast to coast and right down the middle.
Well, anyway, you get the idea of what I was trying to say.
Right.
Yeah,
and I'm sure Baker is...
Do you think the local abate would have some literature? I mean, sometimes it's easy to say abate.org or whatever on stage or have someone talk that, but what about, you know, who would have something to say, hey, go to this website, pick this flyer up, you know, do whatever. I guess
well,
maybe contact whoever the abate
is. Well, if there isn't somebody in your audience at each event that isn't as involved, I mean, I shudder to think, you know, who the heck's coming to your events, because any biker event I've ever gone to, there's always been somebody there who's into all of this kind of stuff.
Well,
I'll
put this out right now. I think Baker, if we ask Dennis, I'm pretty sure I can. He'll let me email you his email, and he can probably answer your questions for you. Is that okay, Dennis?
Yeah. I'm agreeing with Betsy, though, if you could find somebody just to come up and say something, that'd be a good start.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about the club scene and all the different things. Obviously, there's always somebody
right.
at the event, and there's an awareness and stuff going on with that. But, I mean, there's a lot of just biker bars and just things that go on that aren't, like, quote, events, like a Laconia or a, you know, or a Sturgis or something. So, I mean, there's a lot of small stuff that goes on where, you know, 200 or 300 bikers will show up and there'll be something happening. And, you know, those guys aren't always out. You know, you'd be surprised how many people are really unaware.
Right.
And I have mentioned a lot of stuff.
So you could familiarize yourself enough to just throw out a website and say, hey, guys, this is what the hell's going on. And, you know, I just thought I'd give you a heads up that this is what's happening. And if we don't do something, you know, there are going to be consequences. And here's the website to go to. And you could just leave it at that or something of that nature. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what?
Well,
the,
in our case, in the South, I mean, it's not hit as hard as it is on the coast. You know, like you guys are fighting the fight out there, and nobody here has really seen it, but it's going to come here. It's going to get around here sooner or later if it's.
It affects us today. It'll affect you tomorrow.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Right.
I know a bikers' right activist who recently passed away from Tennessee, John Collins.
Yeah,
so I mean, I know there are some activists there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not saying there's not any activists or anything like that. All I was asking was, you know, do you think that literature or something along that line is a good idea to try to pass out? I mean, ways to just get this, you know, to try to bring it forward. Because, like I say, I play in a lot of different venues that people are just out there getting drunk, and that's cool, and that's what we want. You know, at the same time, everybody to relax and have a good time. But at the same time, it would be nice to also have something. What would be the best
probably
to
a flyer,
you know, you need in advertising, and that's kind of my background is you need the issue needs product identification. You have to have something graphic and visual that people identify with the issue, a slogan, a logo, something that you know, right now it's an issue and there's a million issues out there. But until you can identify that issue with something that it's got to be a visual sort of a graphic thing that they look at it and they understand that, oh, this is related, you know, and that's what the companies, that's what, you know, all the big players do that. It's brand identity. They sit and brainstorm the advertising end of it before they actually even know what the product is. They come up with the advertising and the concept first, and the image, and you know, it's got to be something that people can look at and in a couple of seconds know that I heard of this or I remember that, but to get up and talk in front of a crowd of half drunk bikers is first of all, bike, you know, it's like trying to take a car full of cats out for a ride. Sometime you can't get them all on the same sheet of music. You can't get their attention. If you don't have something that they can look at, you know, in between gulps of beer, that they can grasp right away, it's going to be an uphill fight. And that's basically the way it is. You know, that's the nature of the thing here. It's
Well, Charlie,
you can't have long conversations, and you can't. You don't want to be throwing concepts at them, and you know, they got short. People have short attention spans. They don't grasp concepts right from the get go. It takes something. You know, you got to sit down and condense whatever it is you're doing into something that's identifiable that people can relate to it. And it can't be long conversations. Maybe a phrase or a catchphrase or you know, or something silly or stupid that they'll remember, you know, a lot better off than you trying to, you know, give them some
advice. Well, I'm thinking if you play that right after, or if you say that right before you play Ride or right after you play Ride, I'm sure you'll get all the attention you need to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great
song. I'm
thinking
a big Bikers of America banner, you know, flying so it's up there with the logo and the stuff, like you say, and get the visual attention and just have whatever.
Yeah, that's
have the website. You know what I'm saying?
It's brand. You've got to fight for the, you know. It's like brands, and that's they're out there fighting for your attention, you know, and they spend a lot of money and a lot of time figuring out ways to do that. And so that's what I look for. You know, I can sit down and I'll listen for an hour in a conversation. You're not going to find 95% of people aren't going to do that. You know, if you don't get it out in the first 10, 15 seconds, they're on to something else, you know. And people have short attention span. It gets worse as time goes on. Everybody's attention span is short. And it's short now because they get right online, and if you can't find, you know, I do it myself. If a website I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get, if it doesn't download in 5 or 10 seconds, I close it out and I move on to, you know, I'm even doing it. You know, it's got to be immediate. It's got to be
gratification.
Boom. Yeah, and that's what it is. It's you know, and if I do it myself, 5 or 10 seconds, if and that's a proven fact that. Particularly on websites, and if it takes you longer than 5 or 10 seconds to download your page, and if you don't have something up there that grabs them, they're going to move on. They're not going to go through a website that's 90% text and it's something you got to sit down and read or open up MP3 files or, you know. I mean, I'll do it, but 99% of the others aren't going to do that. So you
got
to do all the work for them.
I'm going to see what's going on. Hello, caller. Are you there?
5 or 10 seconds to download your page. And if you don't have something up there that grabs them, they're going to move on. They're not going to go through it.
Hello, caller.
Like 90% text.
I'd rather listen to the show than the phone.
Talk about short attention spans.
Here you go.
OCD is rampant.
So, Dennis, you got any comment on this? This last topic?
I think it's been discussed well enough.
Okay. Well, we're getting down to the end here, and I thank you guys for calling in. I really appreciate it. And tune in next week.
Hey, you know, I might have something I might have something on my website about this little project with the DOT that we didn't want to really discuss.
You can put it up in the chat if you want.
Yeah, I didn't want to discuss it too much. I don't want the idea picked up by somebody else and maybe have it, you know, somebody run with it. That has the,
okay,
you know, that has the means.
Go ahead.
Well, when I get something a little more concrete, I'll let you know about it, and then I'll gradually let it let it out to selectively. I don't want to. I'm shooting from the hip with this anyway. And what I don't want is
competition.
And I don't want it out there yet because it took a little time for us to focus on it to get, you know, for even us to figure out what to do. And then we hit on it, you know. So I don't want to. I don't want to. You know, I'll let you know when I come up with something. I've even got a logo. I even designed my own logo and stuff. So we've gotten it that far, and we want to get it to the next stage, but we want to keep it low key and low profile, so that if it does get any legs,
I'm going to close this out with Charlie. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to play my favorite song, buddy.
Cool.
And I like I said, I thank you guys for calling in. I really appreciate it, and we're just getting better every week. So I'm
see
gonna,
you down
I'm
the road.
This is Charlie Baker, bakersongs.com, if you want to go down to his site. And this song is called Ride. This is the closing show, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Thanks.
Desert air feels good on my face.
All right.